Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew Mornings. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
So what does it mean when Paul says, I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some? That's out of 1 Corinthians 9:22. What does that look like for us? What do you think?
You know, I've thought a lot about this because this is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. And, you know, the best illustration that I can have is Dave Churchill. And I'm going to mention that again because it's been a little bit. But Dave, I call him kind of khaki pleated pants before they were. He was just a straight dude. He was a straight-laced guy, I should say. Straight dude. You got to be careful these days. I was trying to say straight-laced. But he was a straight dude and straight-laced. And he was a cop, and he was a security guard up in Prudhoe Bay.
He's so kind of that, like, clean-cut, buzz-cut kind
of. Well, he did. He had crew cuts before they were a thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. But he was such a jovial guy and a nice guy, and he loved my dad and mom. He and his wife, Linda, were planting a church with my dad and mom. It was probably 2 years into it, and it was already taken off. By the way, that church now is a thriving church of a couple thousand people.
Wow. That's awesome.
Isn't that something? So, oh, man, I'm having a brewski at a party north of the Arctic Circle by 300 miles in the oil fields. Now, oil field parties, you need to know something. I mean, you're out. You got to get this picture. Outside, it's 40 to 50 below zero.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So inside, it's like this. It's kind of like being in a biosphere or what you've, if you've ever seen that movie. Wasn't there a movie called Mars where they're in these little areas and they're, you know, obviously.
You can't go outside.
That's what it's like in the oil fields in Alaska.
Interesting.
It's like that.
That's crazy.
So we're inside this area in the, this is back before things have changed, Allie. Trust me. But this was back.
Okay.
This was back in the day when, you know, oil fields would have open bars, you know, in the oil patch.
Seems like a weird thing to have at an oil field.
I know, but that's what they had. So we'd have these celebrations every now and then. And I'm holding a beer and I freshly had some lines of cocaine and there was cocaine flowing up there back in the day. Now they drug test. But he walks over to me and you know what? This crazy cat Dave Churchill put his arm around me and he became me. I feel like crying right now. He became me. He loved me and he became a sober partier, put his arm around me and he said, hey, I want you to know, and it's kind of like, look, I know you saw me and I saw you, so I'm going to break the ice by walking over to you, even though you got a beer in your hand and I know you're up to no good at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the message. And he's put his arm around me and he said, listen, I need you to know something, man. If you ever need anyone to talk to, I'm here for you, but have a great time tonight. And I'm like, oh, wow, you just ruined my night. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's just like, Dave. Did you have to say have a good time? Why couldn't you go angry Christian on me?
Couldn't you have come over and judged me a little
bit
so I'd have an excuse to be mad and write you off?
And I know you love that story.
I do.
Why do you love that?
Because it's such a picture of grace. So it's not that he came over and condoned what you're doing. Because I think sometimes that's our fear when we read a verse like this, that becoming all things to all
that's
people.
That's a great insight.
That somehow we will have to compromise. That means we would compromise. That's not what Paul is saying. So he didn't come over there and say, here's another beer, Carl, I got you one.
Or to try to be hip that way.
He came over and he looked past what you had going on.
Into my soul.
Yes.
Yeah, he did. Boy, he's a stud. Man, that dude's a spiritual stud muffin.
Hmm.
That's what it requires, is looking past the exterior, whether it's an exterior of addiction, whether it's an exterior of kind of icy self-sufficiency of somebody who appears to have it all together and lives in a great house and has all the trappings of success. Because you can reach both up and down here. This is not just like reaching to those who appear to be down and out.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so let me give you another one. Coming up here in a minute and a half. This is a trip. I want to tell you about this. There's a guy that he was a big bond daddy, and he bought the largest ski slope in New Mexico. He became a good friend of mine. But when he bought it, he was lost as a goose. He was one of the first guys in the United States. I can't say too much because he was kind of wrapped up a little bit with a former president.
Okay.
So I got to kind of be on the down low here a little
bit. Okay.
But he was the first guy ever busted for recreational distribution or recreational trafficking or something like that of cocaine. It was a weird deal.
Hmm.
It was on his jet that he was busted. But this dude, you talk about something powerful that illustrates this, because it's not a matter of, oh, us reaching down.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're reaching up with the gospel.
And I am so glad that you're going to tell that story.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what's thinking in my mind. How do you reach up?
Oh, check this
out.
How
do you reach up?
Check this out. This is a trip. My buddy Dan at the top of the ski slope he owned called Angel Fire, middle of the summer, his life comes crashing down. Where did he go? Straight ahead.
Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
All right. Allie asked a great question, Boom Crew, and this is great. And it just dawned on me. Boom. I got this great story here. My buddy Dan, I met him in Little Rock. And I can't get into any more than that, except that this guy was, he had owned this chain of restaurants that had done so well. And he's shared this story publicly, but I want to be a little bit veiled here. He had owned this chain of restaurants, sold them off, done really well. Anyway, he had owned Angel Fire, which is a big ski resort in New Mexico. Now, you might say New Mexico has a ski resort. It does, actually. It's called Angel Fire. I think it was Angel Fire. I don't know if it still is. Anyway, Dan's sitting at the top of this mountain. And in a moment, as God does, his life flashed before his eyes that he was absolutely lost.
Wow.
And he had a large organization. And all he knew he had to do was come down that mountain and find someone who knew God. And he remembered a kid about three levels below him in the organization, because Dan was at the very tip top. It was his firm. And he hunted and seeked to find this guy. He's getting on the horn. Where is this kid? Where is this kid? Because
oh, wow.
He knew this kid had a relationship with God. Now, he didn't know he was an all-in, flame-throwing follower Christian, but he suspected. He walks into this kid's office, comes down the hill, hasn't slept all night, goes to the office, walks in, goes, I need to talk to you. The kid's like, excuse me, Mr. Lassiter. Says, I need to talk to you.
Okay.
But this kid became Dan Lassiter to Dan Lassiter in that moment. And he laid down the gospel and he didn't pull any punches. And he said, if you continue down this path, you will be eternally separated from God, to his Uber boss. Okay.
Oh, man.
The head of the whole enchilada. And on that day, Dan, in this intern's office, surrendered his life to Jesus, and his life was forever changed.
Wow.
How cool is that?
That's awesome.
So here's a kid, an intern, working for this guy that doesn't even know him, barely. And the rest is history. So can we be that to other people to lead them to Jesus? The answer is absolutely.
We have to. So we want to know who did that for you, who reached you where you were at. They met you right where you were. Might have been at the height of success, but empty. It might have been at the bottom of the barrel and empty. Who met you where you were at to reach you with the gospel? 312-274-9624.
Hey, this is Super Di. Hope you're enjoying the Carl and Crew Showcast.
How much better might the church be? How much stronger might it be if we begin to flex and become all things to all people, so that by any possible means they might save some? What might happen evangelistically if we did that? What would happen? What do you think?
I mean, I think the obvious answer is we'd reach more people.
I think a ton more. When we reach only people that come from our kind of vibe, our look, our feel, our side of the tracks, whatever the case may be, I think that's very limiting and constricting. But when you pull the kind of the constraints off and we've got a commitment to really flex to our culture. And you mentioned someone, this young lady.
Yes, a friend of mine, and she was actually a Moody student, and she had this appearance that you would notice. She had nose ring and a tattoo, and she presented herself in a way that you might make some assumptions about her if you weren't careful. Yeah. And she told me one time she was a very, very strong in her faith, very mature young woman, and she felt called to minister to people who'd come out of addiction, people who kind of lived a life that many people would look down upon.
Yes.
And she said, I have made some choices altering my appearance so that I can reach the people I feel like I'm called to reach. And I was blown away by that, by the maturity at 21 years old to be like, I present my body this way so that when I go out on the streets to minister, I kind of fit in.
That is so cool. Jose, first time caller in Indiana. What do you say, Jose? What's your story?
Hey, Carl, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely.
I know you guys are a huge blessing. Every time I listen to you in the morning, you just you edify me in every way. I'm just so grateful for your show.
You know what, Jose, I want to tell you something. That means so much to us because that's what we pray that God does. So thank you for that.
You're so welcome. It really does. So thank you so much for what you do, all of you. I just want to say that I'm a police officer in Indiana. I've been here for 27 years, almost 28 years now. And when I was a brand new policeman, we worked security in the schools as a side job. Well, I met this lady. She worked in the school. She was like a teacher's aide. Her name is Patty. Hmm. She worked with the handicapped students in the schools. This is a high school. These kids are severely handicapped.
Yes.
And so every time I come in there, this woman just assumes it's Jesus Christ. She was she's a Jesus freak, in the true sense of the word. She loved the Lord. She just loved the Lord. And she couldn't complete a sentence without praising his name. And I was raised in Catholicism. And so whenever she comes straight at me, you know, hey, you know Jesus Christ? Well, of course I do. I'm Catholic. Well, we got into, you know, we started peeling the layers back. I realized I was not saved. I did not have a life in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And so anyway, she just, every time I came back to work security, she would ask me, you know, have you went to church? Have you taken your kid? Because she knew I had two daughters, and they were young. And she says, get those babies in church. Get those babies in church.
Oh, my word.
And she says, years down the road, they won't remember the heathen that you are now.
Oh, what a, she gave it to you straight, Jose.
Yeah, she gave me the business, but she knew I could handle it. But the point is, when I told her I was Catholic, she explained to me that she was Catholic too. And she met me right where I was at and explained to me how the religion wasn't enough. This relationship is what I was looking for, what I needed, even though I didn't realize it.
Yes.
She was huge. Huge. And then, of course, God had a couple other irons spinning in the fire.
Yeah, right. But he used her strategically, didn't he?
Absolutely.
He used her. Man. Absolutely. Jose, that is so rich, man. What do you think? Let me ask you a question. What do you think? How has that impacted you? Has that lived with you? Have you seen that God use that in your own life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I share that story time and again with people, number one. Number two, I actually pastor a church in Indiana today. I've been pastoring it for 10 years.
Unbelievable, Jose. That is so cool.
Yeah, so she's been very impactful in my life, and I try to, and I meet people like her from time to time. She has a gift. This woman is extraordinary. She ran a Bible club out of her garage. All the neighborhood kids would come to. She bought little trinkets, and she called it the Good News Club.
Wow.
And I knew many kids. She started a Bible study in the school during the lunch hour. The kids would come in there. This woman was extraordinary. She had a major impact in my life, and I'm grateful for her.
Jose, that is so cool. Thank you so much for calling in. That's Jose, first-time caller from Indiana, police officer. Come on.
Love that.
Let's give it up.
Wow.
I'm serious. Let's give it up.
Such a
nice story.
Love that.
That
story.
Is amazing. Yeah, that is rich. And Jose, I want to tell you this too. Thank you for serving as a police officer. You're the kind of guy on the streets that makes a difference. And I can tell it. You just radiate, bro, right through the phone. I'm seeing this beaming light right through the phone here, man. Godspeed to you.
Hi, I'm Sputnik, and you're listening to the Carlin Crew Showcast.
Carlin Crew, morning's here. Come on, let's give the bigger goal. This is so cool. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings.
Mm.
Now, this is cool, because you might say, well, what are the blessings of sharing in the gospel? The blessings are seeing their life transformed, the ability to come alongside them and now take them on this journey of sanctification and growing up in Jesus. It's a pretty overwhelming thing when you think about it, when our life is pulled out of really the clutches of sin and set free into the light of a relationship with Jesus. That's just one of the coolest things on the planet.
Mm.
So you got to have that why in your mind. I think a lot of us look at what are some of the common reasons why?
common reasons why.
That are selling short the goal of sharing the gospel. Why?
Because I share the gospel because I feel guilty if I don't.
Yeah, because people are going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by the way, that's a great reason, but there's so
it's
much
not
more.
Not the whole thing,
No, it's
right?
not the whole enchilada. What else? Why else do we share the gospel?
Because Jesus told me to, and so I have an obligation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes behavior correction, thinking that that's what's going to help somebody be different.
Mm.
Yeah, and that could both be good motivation and poor.
Really bad. It could be really bad, actually.
It could be both. Yeah. So listen, what if you're motivated for the joy of sharing in the blessing? And I want you to do something different here today. I want you to think about your neighbors, those coworkers, those people down the street, maybe your own kids. What if it's not just hell avoidance, but it's blessing taken hold of? Where it's just like, it's not like, man, I don't want them to avoid hell. Mm-hmm. But you want to be sharing in the blessings of their life with them.
Yeah. Mm.
It's like a really healthy parent looks at a child, right? That's
way. And it's for the blessings set before you. That's why Paul endured some of the things of becoming all things to all people. That's not easy.
No. As a matter of fact, it's not. And so we got the why for the blessing of this witnessing the life-transforming power of Christ in people. Now, coming up straight ahead, the how.
Hey, it's Young Thunder, and you're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
All right, here we go, guys. We're tackling a hot topic today. This is awesome.
Who met you where you were at to reach you with the gospel? We're looking at 1 Corinthians 9 this morning, where Paul says, I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some.
This is an amazing model for us, guys. And if nothing else, maybe this is the takeaway today. I want you to think about someone that you want to reach with the gospel. This is what we got to do right now. This is a silent exercise. This is going to be an exercise in your heart. Ready for it? Here we go. Think of someone that you want to reach with the gospel. I've got someone in my mind right now who is a neighbor in our neighborhood.
Okay.
Somebody in our neighborhood within about a square block.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Someone that I want to share the gospel with. What's it look like to become that person to that person, to reach that person to the glory of God and to his saved soul? Woo! That's fun, isn't it?
Mm.
Isn't that great?
It absolutely is. So are you looking for answers?
Yeah.
Can you do it?
Yeah.
Without disclosing? If you can, go for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a situation kind of like yours, Carl, where it's a neighbor that I want to reach, and me and my wife are looking to reach. And
awesome.
Yeah. And so we actually have a planned dinner that we're going out to because we had the ability to watch their cat for them while they were out of the apartment. And, you know, so we've gotten to know them and talk to them coming in and out of the cars and stuff a little bit.
How awesome is that?
Yeah. And so now we have the opportunity to go out to dinner with them. And you
love this family, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. They're a great couple. And so getting to talk to them there, I think it just kind of comes down to, you know, relating with them, being willing to go and do something with them, have fun with them. And, you know, it doesn't mean I have to, like, you know, do anything that's out of my moral compass.
Right.
But it just means that I have to be willing to spend time with, to be with, to relate with. Because that's the most important thing for somebody is, can this person relate with me, or do they feel so disconnected that I have no chance of getting to know them?
Totally true.
That's true. And I think about for Jonathan, like, he can talk about sports. Like, there are,
absolutely.
Can this person, are they normal? Do they talk about regular things? Because it's,
you know, that's a great thank you.
Yes.
That is right on. I think sometimes when we think about reaching people with the gospel, we get into Weirdville, man.
Yeah. And obviously the gospel is the most important, but don't be afraid to ask people about how their kids are doing or to enter into those conversations. And I am on the school blacktop all the time. So those conversations of, how's that high school preparation going? You know, all of those things that's the lane that I'm in right now.
Yeah.
So those are conversations that are beneficial to have to get to that point where the relationship reaches where I can come out with the gospel.
Yeah, we got new garbage cans delivered to us recently. And they got new recycle bins.
Mm-hmm.
And the recycle bins, you could go with the big model or the small model. And I went with the big model.
Okay.
My neighbor went with the small model, one of them. And I said, why'd you go with small model? We had a great discussion about small versus large recycle bins. Now, that's real life, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, that's real life.
You know, and I think about in parenting, or whether or not you're a parent, you could be an aunt or uncle or grandma, grandpa. You do this naturally with kids. You enter into their world to build that connection.
If you're a good grandma, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you get down on the floor and you start playing with the train set, even though you don't really care that much about train set. Or you ask them all about your granddaughter, all about Dora the Explorer.
Yeah.
Because you know that's what she's into. Yes. You go to their level.
I love that.
So that you can build that connection.
I love that.
Absolutely. And I think the important thing to remember is that you do it because you ask these types of questions because you care. We don't ask these questions, okay, I'm only asking this so I can get the door open, so I can share Jesus with them. Like, we want to have that door open, but ask these questions and show genuine interest in their answers.
Yeah, if you're trying to close a deal, they're going to feel it anyway.
Absolutely.
Loving people is loving them in spite of what the outcome may be.
Yes.
But knowing that you want to, if you really love someone, you want to turn them on to Jesus, or maybe you don't know them. I mean, come on. But yeah, that's fun. Just be normal. I think sometimes we wonder if we can be normal. We can be normal. I mean, Sputnik, my goodness, one of the biggest inroads she could have is fashion. You know?
I do. I feel like being a creative, you can get into places that most Christians can't.
Yeah.
And it's been a really cool opportunity. But, you know, it is. It's just doing normal life. Like, I have a friend right now who lives downtown and is in marketing, and we can have really great conversations about marketing and media and over coffee down here, you know? And she just happens to be in proximity, and I can have great conversations that way. But yeah, it's just doing real life.
Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
And I feel like I need to do this right now. And I just want you to give me your heart here for a moment and lend an ear so that the Lord can speak into your heart. And I really do. I want God to speak into your heart today. Did you show up this morning very uncertain of your eternal destination? Very uncertain. But wanting hope in your life. I want you to know something. I want you to know that God loved you so much that he sent Jesus. That if you will but believe in him, you will not die on earth, but you will live for forever. Death here will just be a comma. And that's one of the most extraordinary things going. But it even gets better than that. And that is that God sent Jesus not only to save us from an eternal separation from him, but to give us brand new life. Over and over again in the scriptures, especially in the Gospel of John, you find, and it's in John chapter 10, verse 10, that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundant. Mm-hmm. And that's like overflowing.
Yeah.
So I want you to know that it's within reach today. But let me tell you how it's best reached. I've never met anyone that truly experienced the abundant life in Christ, including Jose, who called in earlier here, never met anyone who really tasted it authentically. Because the goal here isn't to become religious. You probably know that doesn't work. The goal is to come into a relationship with God that bridges this chasm, because I know God feels distant, cold, and almost to be feared, or obtuse, or totally beyond understanding. He is near, and he wants to be in you. It's the coolest thing on the planet. And so I just want you to understand that if you will but humble yourself right now, I mean genuinely humble yourself, and to acknowledge to God, God, I'm done. I've got no more chips to play. It's over. I'm all in with you right now. And this is what you are being called by God, because he's choosing you right now. This is what's cool. He's been loving you for your lifetime. But today he is choosing you, and he's calling you out of darkness, and you have ears to hear. And isn't it amazing? And today you're wanting to really live. Here's what you say to Jesus right now. Jesus, I believe you died for my sins because I needed it. Just tell him that. I need it. I am not all that. I'm a mess. It's an awesome thing to just agree with God that you're a mess. Just tell him, I'm a mess. And then just say, I believe you died for me, and I believe you're alive. And I know it because there's no way anything but God could be doing what's going on in my heart right now. Just tell them today, I'm a follower of Jesus. And let them know you don't know exactly what that means, but you're ready to learn. And you want to be not only his for eternity, but take hold of all those blessings. See, if that's you, it's just a cry of your heart. If you said that in your heart, you're born again. And right now, something is happening in you. And let me just pray over you. Father, I thank you for these that are coming to you right now, this person. God, I thank you that you use very insignificant means relative to this scope of this world. And that is just Allie and Young Thunder and Sputnik and myself to just share the good news of what we found in Jesus. God, thank you. Thank you that you're calling this person to yourself today and that they're coming out of darkness and they're coming into light and they experience some, they're experiencing something brand new. And God, I just pray that you would protect them from the evil one who wants to try to lie to them and tell them it won't work. Just show them that you started this work. You will finish this work. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you, God, for the work that you're doing right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If that's you, we want you to do one more thing. When you can safely do so, just text the word ME, M-E, to 312-274-9624. Just text the word ME to 312-274-9624.
It's an awesome thing when people come into a relationship with Jesus.
It is. I mean, there's the best is ahead.
Oh.
And the best is yet to come.
It's amazing. And are there going to be battles ahead? Oh, yeah, there's going to be big battles ahead. In fact, some of the battles will intensify in some ways, but you're going to have this weird sense that you're no longer battling life on your own because mm-hmm. God is with you. It's just a cool thing. So if you're giving your life to Jesus today for the first time, just text me, M-E, and we're going to send you a little blog that's going to help you in your first steps with Jesus. We're not going to spam you, just going to help you. Just text me, M-E, to 312-274-9624. Just me to 312-274-9624. Welcome to the family, 5042, and I'm sure others of you are going to come in.
Text the word me, 312-274-9624.
Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.